Bibles up to the book of Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We'll read verses 1 and 2. Comfort ye, my people, saith your Lord. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Isaiah, here, he's in a time where Judah is in a time of captivity, and he's speaking words of comfort to Judah. And we see here, though, in these words that God's people need to be comforted. God's people need to be consoled. And there's a reason for that. From time to time, we all experience times of loneliness. Seasons of time where we feel like we're just alone in the world. Today, I want to help any troubled soul who is in here, who may be going through a time, a season of loneliness. I hope that the Lord will help you out here today and give you some words of encouragement. I know that a lot of us are tired right now. I know that a lot of us, I've been hearing a lot of people clearing their throats. We have scratchy throats, people coughing, people sneezing, runny noses. But I'd like to ask that you be alert this afternoon and don't let the brain bugs come and bite and take your attention off of everything that's being said. Turn over to the book of John, St. John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. And we'll read some verses from John, chapter 14, and then we'll get into this message. Verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now go to verses 16 through 19. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Now verse 25 through 27. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring you all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We have here some words from Jesus that as Christians we have something that is a little bit different from what the world has. Everybody experiences times of loneliness. They come for different reasons. But loneliness is a true problem, and it's a true problem in many of our lives. It touches everyone at some time or another. And one thing about loneliness is loneliness is no respecter of persons. Loneliness will get inside the head of anybody and will bug anybody and find a reason to seep its way into each and every one of our lives. It touches every nation, every city. It touches every church, every workplace, every home. It touches every person. It doesn't matter who you are or what you have even accomplished in your life. You're going to experience loneliness at some time or another in your life. Some people experience long seasons of it. Some people go through short seasons of it. Others, they go their whole life searching to fill a void in their life. And for some reason, many people go their whole life seeking to fill that void in their life with everything but Jesus Christ. People experience loneliness for many different types of reasons. A widow, she just lost her husband. She's most definitely going to experience some loneliness. Or a husband who has just lost his wife. He's going to experience some times of loneliness. You spent your whole life with somebody, or a good portion of your life with somebody, and now that person is gone. Or you think about a mom and a dad who lost a child to death, and they experience some times of loneliness because of that. Or, say for instance, a mother. She's been a homemaker for many years, raising the children up in the home in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now all of a sudden, all those children are of the age where it's time for them to move out, time for them to start their own lives. And then all of a sudden, the rush of that everyday life where she was taking care of those kids, schooling them, they're all out of the house. And she sits down one day and the house is empty, it's lonely, it's quiet, and she's going to experience some times of loneliness as well. Someone who has been through a divorce is going to experience times of loneliness as well. They may even experience times when, even though they divorce that individual, they begin to want that individual back. Loneliness hits us in many different ways. Also, a person that could experience loneliness, I found, are people who tend to be intellectually smarter than the people that surround them. Nobody understands them, so they just withdraw themselves from everybody because nobody understands them. Teenagers, especially, go through seasons of loneliness. And the reason teenagers go through these seasons of loneliness is because, well, nobody understands them, they feel in their mind. And one of the reasons is because a lot of times it's hard for the parents to understand their children because it's this huge generation gap. And it takes work on both sides to try to understand each other and where they're coming from. You'll see, especially sometimes among children that have been homeschooled, they'll experience some real times of loneliness if they haven't got to spend good ample time with children who have also been homeschooled. I'm a big supporter of homeschooling, but children who have been homeschooled, they need also to be around other children sometimes as well who have been homeschooled to have interaction, lest they be presented with seasons of great loneliness. Also, sometimes when we experience loneliness, we do it to ourselves. We alienate ourselves. We get to this point where we feel like nobody understands us, nobody cares for us, nobody loves us. So we decide, well, we're just going to alienate ourselves from everything that we know, from everything that we've come from, and we alienate ourselves. We take ourselves away from those that we love. I was reading in a book about artistic people, or people that are very gifted in a certain area. Somebody who can draw real good, or somebody who can paint, or somebody who can compose music real well, or somebody who's good at writing, somebody who's good at writing poems. Just people who are very artistic. Many times, they, more than anybody else, experience times of loneliness. And because of their gift, they feel like they have been trapped in this world, and they spend a good majority of their life trying to get out of this world that they feel that they're trapped in. And then, when they finally get out, and they have finally alienated themselves from all that they know, they lose their gift. And the reason this writer gave for that they lose their gift is because the things that they were trying to get away from were actually the things that were fueling their gift. God had put them there for a reason. The writer who wants so badly to get away from where he is, little does he know, but it's his surroundings that is inspiring him to write the things that he writes, or the artist, the things that they draw, or the person who composes music, the things that they compose. And we alienate ourselves, we remove ourselves from the source. Loneliness, it is a feeling of emptiness. And it's a needless feeling of emptiness because we don't need to feel empty. And the reason we don't need to feel empty is lined out perfectly to us over in the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Colossians 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. We are complete in God. We are complete in Jesus Christ. Now, we all desire to feel wanted. We all desire to feel needed. But because of this, many people, even in the midst of being in a crowd, even in the midst of being in just a great group of people, or in a big family, in a home that's filled with people, they might as well be on a deserted island because they just feel lonely. It doesn't matter who you put them around, how many people they're around, they're going to feel lonely. And many times, if that person is not careful, though, instead of totally isolating themselves from people, they go to the other extreme and seek companionship of any kind. You especially see this among young teenage girls who have not been provided the proper home atmosphere. They will seek companionship of any kind. We think that if no one wants to be with me, then maybe I should change who I am. If no one wants to spend time with me or show me any attention, I might as well change who I am. Maybe I should waver my positions in the things that I hold true and valuable in my life. These are the types of thoughts that we begin to have when we go through these seasons of loneliness. Now, we also have a spiritual loneliness. When we feel like we have lost purpose in our life, we feel like we have lost our spiritual purpose, we feel like God is just not near us anymore. And this is actually a scriptural thought. See, a child of God, feeling as though they are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, what that child of God needs, they need Jesus Christ. They need to get back into close relationship with Jesus Christ. And over in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, the Apostle Paul said, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God." Look at that, being alienated. They've had their understanding darkened, now they are alienated from the life of God through what? The ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. It can also be said because of the hardness of their heart. They've hardened their own heart. They have alienated their self from God. So, troubled spirit, troubled soul, troubled child of God, you say that you're just not experiencing a close relationship with God. God has not alienated Himself from you. You have alienated yourself from God. Therefore, the Scriptures say, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now, whenever we talk about loneliness, whenever we talk about alienating ourselves from those that care for us, we're not talking about solitude. Solitude is something very different. Solitude is when we voluntarily take ourselves out of the crowd for a time, for a moment of refreshing time with God. And that is very scriptural. It's also a time where we remove ourselves for a time, a special time with somebody that we love. Parents, from time to time, need to withdraw themselves from their children so they can have good alone time with one another. We just need sometimes to completely withdraw ourselves so that we can spend time with Jesus Christ. And even sometimes spouses need to withdraw themselves from each other for a short period of time. And we'll give you some scriptures to prove that, so that they can spend time with Jesus Christ. This may, for those of you who have been married or are married, this may seem pretty simple to y'all, but even right now in courtship sometimes I find that it's something that it takes a lot of your time, and if you don't watch it, your own spiritual relationship can suffer. Not because of the person that you're courting, but just because of the time that it may consume. And sometimes we need to realize those things, and we need to set aside personal time with Jesus Christ. And we need to be able to understand other people when they tell us, I need to spend some time with the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with spending some alone time with God. Like I say, withdrawing ourselves is a very scriptural thing, and we see this example even from Jesus Christ Himself. Turn over to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1. Verse 35. Jesus Christ is getting ready to go out and do a lot of preaching. Before he did that, look at what Jesus Christ does. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. And there he prayed. Now, I believe we should pray without ceasing. Even when we're working, even when we're driving down the street, we should pray as much as enters into our mind. But there needs to be times where we just totally remove ourselves. Go to a solitary place. Whether it be in the quietness of the morning or at the end of the day, we need to find that quiet place. Even if it means going into a closet and shutting the door, we need to find a place where we can pray and pour our own hearts out to God. Now, right now, let me show you one more verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, to back up the point that I was saying, that sometimes even wives and husbands, and you can use this verse to apply it to any situation. Sometimes we just need to withdraw. We do need to withdraw ourselves. Not so much in the form of alienating ourselves, but we do need to withdraw ourselves in order to spend time with God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, it says, "Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your end contingency." So we see there that we do need to withdraw ourselves sometimes to spend some time with the Lord. And right there, it's talking about a husband and a wife, but I do believe that can be applied to even y'all. You know, y'all live in a house together. But even sometimes, y'all might need to withdraw yourselves from each other to spend some time with the Lord, spend some time in fasting and prayer. And I think that's the example that he's giving us there. Sometimes we need to withdraw ourselves to spend some personal time with the Lord. Now back over in John chapter 14. The reason that Jesus Christ is telling the disciples what he is telling him, the verses that we just read earlier, the reason he's telling them that is because they're about to go through a time of loneliness. Their guide, their instructor, Jesus Christ, their light, he's about to be crucified. So he knows that they're about to go through a season of loneliness. So Jesus Christ is telling them, don't worry, because when I leave, I'm leaving behind a comforter. Jesus even said that it was expedient that he had to go. And they were like, what do you mean expedient? You know, how's it going to be expedient for you to go? But sometimes we're made to do things that we're not comfortable with. We're made to wait, or we're made to be patient. And that may cause us to feel lonely. But we don't see God on the other side, drawing out the pattern. And it is expedient that we follow the will of God. And sometimes it's expedient for us to go through those times of loneliness where all we have to flee to is God. Where all we have to flee to is Jesus Christ through the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus Christ in Gethsemane experienced loneliness. Think about this. He said, God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Even Jesus Christ himself, God in the flesh, even Jesus experiencing some loneliness right there. Even Paul, at the end of his life on the Isle of Patmos, he experienced some loneliness. He said, all have forsaken me. Just think about that. Everybody experienced some times of loneliness in their life. Moses, Job, Jonah, David, they all experience times of loneliness, but behold, we count them happy, which endure. People who experience loneliness, like we say, are widows and orphans. And you know, if you study up on the word orphan, an orphan can be someone not just who doesn't have a parent, but it could be a child who had a parent at one time, and they experienced the joy and help, groanings for you, with groanings that cannot be uttered. In those seasons, well, we want to have that nice time alone with God. And all of a sudden, we just feel ourselves not having the words to pray. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. David himself, in Psalms 51, he asked God, he said, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." Why? David knew who his comforter was. Now, of course, this was before Jesus said he was going to leave the Comforter. But in all actuality, the Comforter was already there. It had always been there. And David says, Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit has always been there to comfort us. And you think about the Holy Spirit. He comforts us no matter what. He sees our every fault. He sees our every mistake. He sees our every sin. But He still loves us at all times. Now what? How great a comforter is that? When they see your every fault, you know, the Scripture says that a friend sticks close at all times. And sometimes, you know, we have friends that they'll give up on you. And they'll leave you. They'll forsake you. But here, we see that the Holy Spirit, He comforts us at all times. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ said this right here. Whoever asks for the Spirit, I'm not going to deny it to them. Ask for the Spirit, I'm going to give it to them. So go home tonight and ask God for the Holy Spirit to comfort you. And guess what? He's going to give it to you. And it's not just going to dwell on you, but it's going to dwell through you and in you and above you and all around you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I came across a poem on loneliness. And it goes a little bit like this. Hate, anger, frustration. How does one survive? Confusion, distraught, depression. Why even be alive? Screaming, running, sobbing. Everyone is swarming. Yelling, crying, dying. Does someone really care? I sit alone now, all by myself with no one else. They've all left again for good, and I am once again alone. I only have friends when they need a place to hide. Does that make them love me? My basement's always open. I sit alone again and cry for the friends I wish I had, but will never see. All I get are words in threes. They speak to me softly, worry in their faces. Do they care? Or is their worry worthless? It hurts at the end, as we all know. But after that, we don't know how to go. Then I read another quote made by somebody named Dante. Dante once said that sinners go where it is dark and dank, then in the hot below. Down where Hades rules. But do we know where people go after their loneliness has got to them? Why stay here where it's sad, when you can live happy, no longer alone, no longer afraid? So why should we stay somewhere where we're going to be unhappy? Why should we withdraw ourselves when we know we're going to be lonely? Why don't we take ourselves to a happy place? David said the only thing that he desired of the Lord was to dwell in the house of the Lord. And that's what most of us should desire most of all. And I think that is what truly makes an alive church, a spiritually alive church, is when we come not just seeking companionship from God, but from each other as well. Why? Because we're not made to be alone. We're made to have one another's companionship. And so that's, if anything, that should keep us from coming to church with the drowsy faces, looking all downtrodden, because we know we're going to get to go spend some time with the people that we love and other people of precious like faith. And we should never forsake the assembling of ourselves together because of that. Because we all need one another. We are not made to be alone. Turn back over to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and let's read verses 10 through 14. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm, and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? Whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him, and taught Him in the judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding? Well, all of a sudden, is Isaiah bringing this out here in the middle of chapter 40? At the beginning, he's saying, comfort ye my people. Well, what more of a comforting thought can we have than to know that we have a sovereign God? This one right here, He has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand. He has meted out the heavens with the span. He has comprehended the dust of the earth in just a measure of His hand. Think about that. We serve a God who is so powerful, but yet that same God is the one who comes down here and He comforts us and He touches us and He heals us and He makes us happy. Now verses 28 through 31 in the same chapter. For anyone feeling lonely, I'll ask you the same question here that Isaiah asked. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, neither is there no searching for His understanding. Listen to this. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up their wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Jesus Christ once said that all of us who are weary and are heavy laden to come unto Him, that He would give us rest. He would call us up in his arms. And that's the Jesus. That's the Jesus that died for us on the cross and the one that said He's going to leave behind us a comforter. So when you're going through your times of loneliness, flee to Jesus. Because you know what Jesus said? I will not leave you comfortless. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Lord. We know we serve a risen Savior. Oh, Father, we know that we serve a powerful God. We know that nobody can stand up to You and say, what doest Thou? But God, we also know that You love us and that You comfort us and that You are the friend that sticks close at all times, Lord. And Father, we know that our sinful estate right now, our being or feeling as though we are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, Lord, that's not Your doing, that's our doing. But Father, we know that all of us who are once far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So Father, we pray that You would help us to lay hold on that, to have faith in that, and to see that, and to understand that as children of God should, that we would not walk around in this earth feeling as though we are comfortless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.